are listening to a sermon podcast from St. Benedict's Table, a congregation of the Anglican Church of Canada located in Winnipeg, Manitoba.
May only truth be spoken and only truth received. Amen. It is one of the distinctives of this particular year in the three-year cycle that we get very long gospel readings on the third, fourth, and fifth Sundays of Lent, all drawn from the Gospel according to John. All three are the sorts of stories that really can't be hacked into shorter pieces. So for these three Sundays, we'll just sit tight and see what these long stories might have to say. Tonight, we have this story of Jesus' conversations with a Samaritan woman at Jacob's well, just outside a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. It was about noon, John says, which is interesting, because in that climate, one would go for water very early in the morning, or in the evening to avoid the heat of the day. As the story unfolds, we'll discover that this particular woman probably stands under some judgment from her own community. So perhaps a noon trip felt more secure than going when she'd be surrounded by other women from the community. So again, this is how John begins to unfold the story. He says, a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, give me a drink. His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, how is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. Well, not only did Jews not share things in common with Samaritans, but in that cultural milieu, a Jewish man would never be alone with a woman. And if he landed up in a place like that well, he probably wouldn't speak to her, just pretend she wasn't even there. So here Jesus is breaking more than just one cultural convention, which isn't incidental. Now, quick pause on Samaritans. Our strongest association is, of course, with the parable of the Good Samaritan, a parable that in the modern world has tended to entirely shift the nature of that word Samaritan. A good Samaritan is somebody who goes the extra mile. But in Jesus' context, a Samaritan was anything but a good word amongst the Jews. When the Babylonian exiles began to return from their captivity in the early 500s BCE, they discovered that the land between Judea in the south and Galilee in the north had been claimed by these Samaritans. The Samaritans claimed that they were the descendants of the northern Israelite tribes who had not been deported from the land after the fall of the northern kingdom of Israel several centuries before. They considered themselves to be the true religion of the Israelites, seeing Judaism as closely related but altered, watered down, problematic. Needless to say, this was quite at odds with how the Jews in Judea and Galilee would have seen things, and so there was a powerful tension between the two groups. Think Catholics and Protestants in Northern Ireland during the height of the Troubles. Just that antipathy. So there's Jesus with this Samaritan woman, engaging in a rather robust conversation. Give me a drink, he says, to which she answers with the requisite question as to why a Jew was asking a Samaritan for water. He comes right back with, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. This is how Bishop N.T. Wright summarizes the back and forth between the two of them. He writes, "Jesus puts his finger on the point where her life is most sorely in need of living water, repartee again. Call your husband. Haven't got one. No, five down, one to go. Oops, change the subject. Are you a prophet by any chance? We have this thing about which mountain we should worship on. Objection overruled. Spirit, not mountain, is what matters. And the one God is looking for spirit people right now. Oh, that's very interesting. Of course, one day the Messiah is coming. He'll explain all that complicated stuff. Phew, let's not go too far on this." Pause. No way off the hook. Jesus holds her gaze. "I am who am speaking to you, Messiah, and I am?" End of repartee. Time for action. Sower and reaper are about to rejoice together. Close quote. Well, it's at this point when the woman is having her whole paradigm shifted and beginning to turn toward him as a source for her that the disciples finally show up. And they are rather aghast at seeing their teacher sitting there speaking with this woman, but they didn't say anything, which is kind of typical. They get very concerned and they keep their mouths shut. They don't get it. Meanwhile, she's heading off to her town to bring back some of the people, saying to them, "Come and see a man who told me everything I've ever done. He cannot be Messiah, can he?" And then this is followed by a bit of teaching time, with Jesus again pressing his disciples to truly see who he is and what he stands for, until the woman reappears, bringing with her others from her home community. And now comes what might be the most interesting moment of all. As John writes, "Many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the women's testimony. He told me everything that I have ever done." So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them. And he stayed there for 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. And they said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." Now remember, we're talking here about Samaritans, the ultimate other for Jews, including those Jewish disciples, and, this is not insignificant, the Jewish Jesus. The old assumptions have now been stretched around who is in and who's out, just as it had been when Jesus approached people who had leprosy, or heals the servant boy of the centurion, or restores somebody's broken body on the Sabbath day, or. He does things like that again and again and again, transgressing all of the familiar boundaries. Cumulatively, the message is that no one needs to be out unless they make that choice to put themselves out, just as the older brother does in the parable of the prodigal son. What the Gospels proclaim is that inclusion precedes exclusion. And exclusion seems to be something chosen by the human characters in the story, not by God. As Robert Ferrer Capon famously wrote, quote, "Both heaven and hell are populated entirely and only by forgiven sinners. Hell is just a courtesy for those who insist they want no part of forgiveness." Again, that older brother in the story of the prodigal, who is more happy to stay out in the garden with his nose in the air than he is to go in and join the party with his formerly dead, now alive, raised brother. He won't do it. He's too proud. That's hell. What is it that Paul teaches? There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male or female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. To which I might add, so do your best to check your prejudices at the door, because Jesus is going to keep hauling us right through all of those prejudices, not letting us get away with thinking that we can rebuild lines that divide. We aren't supposed to, and ultimately we cannot. For as Bishop Wright insists, the extension of Jesus' ministry to the Samaritans, even during his lifetime, is a foretaste of that full extension which Paul celebrates. The Messiah's death demonstrates the love of God, undercutting all regional or ethnic claims and boasts, and creating a new people, spirit people, worship people. So, maybe it's time that we, once again, set ourselves to living into that way. It is the only path, truly. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
This has been a sermon podcast from St. Benedict's Table. For information on our church and to access the full catalog of our podcasts going all the way back to 2006, visit us online at stbenedictstable.ca. In addition, if you are interested in supporting our online work, you can find information on the website using the donate button located on the top right-hand corner. Thanks for listening.